I got out my shovel and went out to dig some bait. Got a pail with some worms and I headed for the lake.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have with us, well, sort of with us today. We've got us not exactly in the studio, but we have the Grizz that's talking to us from the City of Peace, La Paz, Baja California, sir. And Grizz has either got multiple television shows and who knows what else he's got going right now, but he started off his career in, what do you say, was it Wyoming or Montana, Grizz?
Montana.
Yeah,
and I started filming in 1979 in Montana, and from there went to Alaska.
Wow. Ever since you were, what, 8, 9 years old, huh?
Yeah, I was 4, John. I wish.
Yeah. And we also have Stan Wong, who's the general manager of Lake Chabot. And, you know, Lake Chabot may not jump to, you know, the front of your mind if you don't live in California or even in the area. But we're going to start off, we're going to be talking to, you know, Cal Parks Company about some of the different opportunities throughout the summer. So if you're thinking of coming to California, if you live in California and you're looking for a place to take the family, let's go ahead and talk to Stan Wong, General Manager of Lake Chabot.
Hi there. How are you?
Fantastic. Now, first of all, give us a little bit of an idea of where you're located, Stan.
Okay. We're just tucked away in the suburbs of Cache Valley. It's about 45 minutes away from San Francisco, probably about 10 minutes or 15 minutes away from Oakland. And it's a very scenic destination. We like to think of it as one of the Bay Area's best-kept hidden secrets.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that makes Lake Chabot special is that it won 7th place in America's top 100 places to fish and bow. To fish and boat, for boating and fishing.
Oh, boating and fishing. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, out of all the lakes around the nation, we a couple of lakes in the Bay Area. Lake Chabot is, number 7th, and I think Del Valle is number 11th. That's a very popular fishery.
Well, was it trout, bass, or catfish, or what is it that you're primarily?
Trout, bass, catfish, bluegill, crappie. We have a lot of the freshwater strains out here. Except for stripers, no stripers in this lake.
Mm-hmm.
We actually, just this last year, we actually had a record-breaking or near record-breaking bass that weighed in at 16.6 pounds. So.
Yeah.
And it was caught by one of our employees. So.
Wow. Feeding. Well, of course, for Grizz, he uses those for bait. Right, Grizz?
Well, John, I'll tell you, 6-pound bass is good anywhere. But yes, that's about, if I'm fishing marlin, that's too small.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I fish this big black marlin, I use a tuna that's 25 pounds.
Yeah. Well, you said that was 16 pounds, right, Stan?
16 pounds. Yeah, yes, sir.
That's 16 pounds is a heck of a fish.
That's a huge
bass. You better believe it. My biggest bass that I've got is 19 3/4, and my second one is 16 pounds. That's one heck of an animal.
Were those in Mexico or in Montana?
Mine were all in Mexico,
yeah.
John.
Yeah.
So what you're telling me, if you got fish up to 16 pounds, then you've got the Florida strain bass stocked into that lake.
We do.
And that makes for some great fishing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's this lake has never been known for its bass fishing, but it's slowly making its way out there. A lot of people catch a lot of trout out here and catfish, and that's usually the main fish that most people catch.
Well, that's if you got trout, that's why the bass get so big.
You better believe it. As a proven fact, the bass that eat trout are the fastest growing bass in the world. And especially, can you imagine this? People better listen to this. If you want to catch a big fish, now he said he caught a 16-pound bass, but an employee, so I'm sure that employee probably wasn't that good. So we were out there and started hitting some big plugs. You might just be surprised what you pull out, because they're eating the fastest growing food in the world that makes them grow the fastest, and that's trout.
Hmm.
Absolutely.
Well, I know they like them. I didn't know that.
There's a lot bigger bass out here, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, give us an idea of what facilities are there, Stan. I mean, it's a short distance, so you can just do a day trip. But if somebody's somebody's traveling around in their RV or whatever it is, and they want to stop at Chabot, what kind of facilities do you have?
Oh, absolutely. Facilities, there is a campground located probably about 10 miles away from the marina. It offers camping, RV hookup, and down at the marina, we do, like I said, we do a lot of boat rentals, anywhere from kayaks, electric boats, patio boats. We don't offer any gas-powered boats for rental just because we're very environmental friendly around here, and we don't want people complaining about the noise. So.
Interesting.
And electric, and the boats that we have are more than efficient enough to get you around the way.
You said they're electric?
They're electric.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that's so great. You don't have to listen to all that racket. And they're a lot safer, too, because you get those motors on there and they start zipping around and somebody's going to get hurt.
Yes. Yes.
Now, when you're in campground, you know, like camping out, what type of wildlife do you have coming up nosing around?
Nosing around? Just a typical deer, raccoons, occasionally a few skunks. But not too much. The park is pretty, it's held together pretty well by East Bay Regional Parks.
So. You get any coyotes or fox come up to check out the campsites?
Not so much. I've seen maybe one or two foxes since I've been here, and I've been here for about 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
So not
and
too
no
much.
Coyotes.
They're definitely around. Coyotes, you can hear them from a distance, but I've never seen one in person.
Well, you know, they really don't like mixing with people anyway. And, you know, there's a lot of fear about coyotes and things like that. Guys, if you see a coyote, you should sit there and look at them. They're actually beautiful critters. And they're not going to hurt you anyway. Just don't leave your food out because they like to pick it up and run off with it.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not going to hurt you. You got owls at night, like the great horned owl, because that's a good area for great horns and short horned owls.
We do. We actually have a pair of nested bald eagles around here too,
really?
And a couple barn owls. Yeah, so they nested here. The bald eagles nested here probably about a good 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And on a good day, you know, you'll see them catching trout out of the water. It's amazing. It's truly amazing sight.
Well, I'm
most of the time they're hanging out by the dam.
Stan, I'm a little curious about those electric boats because I've seen some that they use in the harbors, you know, and some of the small lakes. But give us some more information about these boats and, you know, how much time can you spend on the water with them?
With electric boats on the motors, most of the boats for the standard electric boats, we run Minn Kota motors. With a couple batteries, of gel cell batteries. So they'll last quite a bit, depending on the usage. And some of the bigger boats, we use these motors from Ray Electric Motors from Florida, and they're absolutely amazing.
But they make good fishing platforms?
Oh, absolutely. Hmm. And they're pretty fast, too. You would think for an electric boat it would move pretty slow, but these things actually keep up the charge and keep up with the power quite well. And when, you know, with our lakes, it actually some of the bigger boats that we have actually creates a little bit of wake,
mm-hmm.
but not enough to where it would disturb.
Well, that's,
you know,
that's interesting.
Or other boats.
Yeah, I don't know of any other lake or marina that does that. That's very interesting. And I'm sure it makes it a lot more relaxing. And, you know, like we said, fish don't live in ugly places. So if you're cruising around, the main thing is as Grizz says, put the Xbox away and get out and experience the real thing, not what.
Well, it's what I always say, John. Get the kids outside, let them breathe some fresh air. Show them the bald eagles you got out there around the lake. Sit up at night and hope the little ornery raccoon passes by. And the only television they should watch is my show.
Okay. Well, anyway, the lake is Chabot, correct? Chabot?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so just Google Lake Chabot. Give Stan a call, and he'll fix you up, and you'll have a great time. Thank you, Stan. We appreciate you hanging in there.
Thank you. I appreciate the call.
Hey, woman. Getting young. Let's go. For your outdoor adventure in the West, CalParksCO.com is required. CalParks has 24 prime locations for camping, fishing, or boating. Lake Comanche has 54 miles of shoreline and three marinas west of San Francisco, known locally as Monster Lake because of the big fish in abundance. Lake Hemet is surrounded by the majestic beauty of tall pines and giant oaks in the mountains of Southern California, a majestic vacation spot. CalParks Company is your prime location for outdoor adventures in the West.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and parco. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
Join us at Villa del Palmar in the islands of Loreto to experience an incredible world-class fishing adventure and compete for thousands of dollars in cash and prizes. The Dorado Fishing and Golf Tournament begins June 29th through July 2nd and offers an opportunity to catch Dorado during its peak season with an entry fee of just $375 per person based on a team of four. Located on the Sea of Cortez, known as the Aquarium of the World, the islands of Loreto are known for their calm indigo waters and nearly 1,000 species of fish. The islands of Loreto offers guests the chance to hook their next big catch, including striped marlin, yellowfin tuna, grouper, and Dorado. Please join us for the Villa del Palmar's first golf tournament on the spectacular new world-class golf course. Come to experience the luxury at Villa del Palmar at the islands of Loreto. Visit us at Villa del Palmar, Loreto.com, Dorado 2016.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and parco. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
But I'd rather get my rod and reel and go fishing when I can. I want to go fishing.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. And we still have the Grizz. And now we also have one of our favorite guests is John Prochnow, who is probably responsible for catching more fish in the United States than any other single person, I would guess. And that's because he is the one that researches and produces some of the best artificial baits and lures that anywhere. And we say best is because they work and they're proven to work. So anyway, John, welcome to Fish Talk Radio.
Glad to be back, John.
And we're on the break. We just, Grizz came on, and Grizz was talking about catching bass. Now, what was that about, Grizz?
Well, I went up to Sinaloa, and I was bass fishing. And a few months back, probably years by now, John gave me some of these gold baits. And I'll tell you what, Charles and I just kicked butt. We made two shows in one day because we were catching so many fish on it. And then we took the same thing and went over to the estuaries in La Bocana and caught corvina, and we caught halibut, we caught spotted bay bass, sand bass on the same exact lures. I mean, there was no say, we're in saltwater, we're going to change it. No, we just used the same thing
darned.
And caught fish.
Now, Grizz, were these plastic impregnated baits, or what were they?
Right, yeah, they're the plastic baits, the things that have the little wiggly tails.
Yeah.
But there's one thing I want to say to John. John, when I was a kid, I used to have to go dig up night crawlers and get my hands all gooey and nasty because I hate those things and stick them on a hook. Well, since you came out with all these great plastic baits, we don't have to do that anymore. And so my wife is happy because I don't get my pants dirty. I'm happy because I don't get my hands dirty. And the worms are really happy. So thank you, John.
Well, not only that, you know, sometimes, you know, let's say the more feminine gender or younger people are not interested in grabbing a worm and sliding it all the way down on a hook. So this makes it real simple.
Well, I'm not a younger people, or I'm not a female gender, and I don't like it.
Hey, John, let's okay. Grizz, are you still there?
We lost John.
Yeah,
John.
We'll get him back on. But let's kind of follow the idea that we talked a little bit about is getting people out on the water. And it's always a lot more fun if you get a little tug on the end of the line. I mean, it's, you know, it's great to be out there with a bobber in there and stare at it for hours, I suppose. But I'm not a very patient angler. I like to catch fish.
I like just being outside, John. You know, looking at my surroundings, as long as I don't have a bunch of people around me.
Got him.
Listening to the birds, hearing the trees sing as the wind blows.
Okay, Grizz, we were able to reestablish satellite connection with John Prock now. And, John, if you're there, let's talk a little bit about some of the other things that are coming out of your laboratory. John, are you there? Well, anyway, we'll keep trying. But you can try the other number if you want. But anyway, Grizz, you know, the idea of using the same bait, fresh water and salt water. But when you're out, what kind of lures or bait do you? Let's go salt water and then fresh water. Just give us an idea what your favorites are.
Well, are we fly fishing, John, or are we...
Well, no, we haven't gone into that yet. That'd be a different subject.
All right. Well, the thing of it is if I'm saltwater and trolling, I'm going to use the big squids, the big popper stuff. And if I'm casting, like back in the estuaries, I love swim baits.
Okay.
You know, with a lead head on them, about an ounce head on it, eagle claw hook, and then a swim bait. And that seems to work the best for me.
Okay.
The colors
all right. Well,
I like on them are white, salt water.
Grizz, let's get back in. We think we've tried to reestablish contact with John. Hopefully, John, are you there?
No, lost him again.
Well, that's strange. Anyway, go ahead, Grizz.
And then when I'm, you know, in the salt water, fresh water, I don't need that heavy a thing. I'll use a half-ounce jig head, and I'll use a swim bait, and I'll use either a black top white belly or a blue top white belly and throw it up against the banks, you know, and then just jig it down. So you move it up, and as it falls back down, that tail's moving back and forth really fast. So what it does, it looks like a sick minnow, and that works really good. The only problem, if you're in the rocks, for some reason that jig head likes to go right in between them, and then you're stuck. But we, Charles and I, catch an awful lot of fish doing that.
Well,
so that's my favorites.
Okay, now, do you have any techniques that you use on a lead head?
Well, you're talking, well, you just stick it on the lead head. You know, as you do, you put the hook in and keep forcing the bait up towards the head. And when you get halfway, just push the hook out to the top and then just slide it all the way into next to the head.
Well, we're gonna,
now, the Berkeley swim baits, they have a slot in there, so it makes it a lot easier.
Right. Well, Grizz, I think we've got John Prock now back on the line, but let's find out. John, are you there?
Yes, I'm sure here.
There you are.
I'm glad that Chris is having a good time with us. We designed those swim baits, those slots in them, just to make them easier for the anglers to rig and to get better hook penetration when you're setting a hook on those fish.
Mm-hmm. John, what do you have coming out maybe for this summer or for just recently out that people should know about?
Well, in the Gulp series, we've got some new colors coming out in some of the preferred shapes that everybody's tried and trued already. We've also got some of the new Berkeley hard baits coming out with the diggers and the pit bulls and things like that. Some of the ones that are really aimed at the more of the freshwater market, the bass and things like that. We've worked with David Fritz to come up with some of the new and innovative type designs and baits that'll get down deeper faster for the guys that are really wanting to crank those and get them deep and not get all beat up from the rod and the pull on the bait. So those are some of the things that are coming right now and should be showing up on the shelves already.
And, you know, obviously, I guess it was Powerbait that you came up with first and then Gulp. And Gulp, I know it works really well in salt water. Powerbait, you know, works probably better in fresh water, but, you know, you can use both of them for all of them. You've got them all. And what other scents and types of bait have you been coming up with that we should know about?
Yeah, and you're exactly right with that. And some people, and Chris said it right on the head, you can cross over from freshwater baits into saltwater and easily catch the same amount of fish, whether they're freshwater or saltwater. What we've actually done in our products is we just kind of custom or tailored the scent and flavor that we put into the baits. If it's aimed towards saltwater, we put a few more things in there that the bottom fish and the rock fish and some of the pelagics like a little bit better. And in the freshwater things, we'll leave those out and put more in the freshwater things that we found in our laboratories that those types of species respond to better.
Hmm. Hey, John, just this is an off-the-wall question. In the next week or so, I'm going to be going up to Ketchikan, Alaska, and trying to get some halibut. And normally what you do is you use like half of a pink salmon and drop it down with a heavy weight and sit there and wait for them to look for the smell and come in to hook them up. But those big white tails with a lead head that sometimes you use for ling cod or halibut, do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, definitely. And I've got some personal experience with that. That's some of my favorite fishing because I really like to eat fish, and some of those big white flatfish are some of the tastiest around. But the Berkeley 8-inch power grub has been very, very good. It's designed it actually for those types of fish in Alaska. And then the Gulp's got some 6-inch swimming mullets that work real good. They've got that swimming action tail, and we actually drift for the halibut and fish like that. We don't just sit there and wait for them. We go to them.
Okay, well, let it drag on the bottom, or what? How do you do that?
What I do is I'll hold it up, I'll hit the bottom, and I'll bring it up about 6-8 inches off the bottom.
Just bounce it?
Just jig it there, yeah. And once in a while, hey, here's a trick for you. Got a bunch of boats.
If you want someone to try it out for you, let me know.
Oh, I'm there. I got some sitting in the lab right now.
All
but
right.
The way to take a fish away from your angling buddies on the other side of the boat, you got those big lead heads, using sometimes 10 to 20 ounces. Just bounce it on the bottom a little bit.
Wow.
Just got bit, didn't get it, the hooks into them.
Okay.
Bounce it on the bottom a little bit, lift it up, and they'll come right
there
over
you
here.
Go. Okay, well, we're going to have to go. Grizz, you're going to stick around. John, we're going to have to let you go. We appreciate all that. Sorry about the communication problem. So I guess we'll have to bring you back again pretty soon. But, yeah, you got my shipping address, so let's try that out.
I'll make sure you have some to try.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that very much. You are listening.
John, hang on for a minute, would you?
I want
to talk to you in a commercial break.
Okay. Anyway, but we got just about another 20 seconds. But Berkeley, you don't have to worry about where to find that because it's everywhere. But if someone wants some specific information, John, can they go someplace to get questions answered?
Oh, Oh, yeah. We've got a website. You can go to berkeleyfishing.com, and there's a Pure Fishing website that's got all of our brands. But berkeleyfishing.com.
Perfect.
All your answers.
Perfect. Okay. Thanks a lot, John. We'll be back with you with Fish Talk Radio. You go to fishtalkradio.com and listen to the show again and again and again.
Pick me up a walleye right now. I'm on a jiggy, 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 jiggy. Jig me up a walleye right now.
Join us at Villa del Palmar in the islands of Loreto for a world-class fishing adventure. Compete for thousands of dollars in cash and prizes. Choose from three packages, a three-night stay for two in a deluxe studio room, fishing tournament fee, entry into the golf tournament at the new golf course, plus awards dinner. Non-anglers can choose up to four services at the resort's award-winning spa and wellness center. The Dorado Fishing and Golf Tournament begins June 29th and runs through July 2nd. It offers opportunity to catch Dorado at peak season with an entry fee of just $375 per person based on a team of four. All-inclusive packages that include meals and beverages, even an option with round-trip airfare on Alaska Airlines from Los Angeles to the islands of Loreto. Packages start at just $800 per person based on double occupancy. Come experience the luxury of Villa del Palmar at the Islands of Loreto. Visit us at Villa del Palmar, Loreto.com, Dorado 2016.
If your feet are happy, you are happy. Soft Science Supreme Comfort outdoor footwear will give you happy feet. Durable, lightweight, and supportive, Soft Science footwear is designed for boating, fishing, or everyday comfort and performance. With history of highest quality, you will be proud to own this revolutionary footwear. SoftScience.com has many types and styles you need to check out. Invest in quality footwear, and you will be happy for many years. Find out why at SoftScience.com.
The road stretches for miles in front of you, and with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to REEL funadventures.com.
Everybody fishing.
Everybody fishing.
Everybody fishing.
Everybody fishing. I might just fish some.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. And we've still got the Grizz. He's giving everybody a hard time, but he's got some great information. I appreciate your help today, Grizz.
And, oh, you're welcome, John. It's always a pleasure to be on the show.
Well, we've been talking about where to fish, what to fish with, and let's see if we can come up with something else to help with your experience. You know, just in case you happen to actually catch some fish, we have Brian Hatch on the line with us from AO Coolers that might be able to help out a little bit. Brian, welcome to Fish Talk Radio.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
We've had you before, but I'd like to go over again. What is it? Oh, by the way, this is your, 25th anniversary?
Last year was our 25th, so this year, actually, we're going on our 26th year of making coolers.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, there's coolers and there's coolers, but, you know, these are something completely different than everybody's been thinking about. So why don't you give us an idea what it is, and then we'll figure out what to do with it.
Okay. Well, like I said, we've been making the coolers for 26 years now. We started out in the industrial part of the business, selling the coolers to the meat packers and actually the fish salesmen. So they'd go around to sell their fish and meat to customers, and they needed a bag that not only kept the product fresh and cold, but they needed it durable, because not everyone uses a cooler every day. But when you're a salesman, you're going around selling meat, you're using that thing five days out of the week. So the coolers that they used to use would only last about a year or so, and then they started, you know, using ours, and they're lasting, you know, 5 to 6 years, being used, you know, five times a week. So soon the public got notice of it and everything, and we started selling to the public, and like I said, have been doing it for 26 years now, so it's been pretty popular with us.
Well, Grizz hasn't got the opportunity to try it yet, but we've been talking about it, and there's just something about it that I just really like. I said, I got one sample from you, and everybody keeps trying to steal it from me. But first of all, they work.
Yeah, that's a big thing with soft-sided coolers. You have to make sure they don't leak.
Yeah.
That was a problem with some of the more inexpensive ones. They didn't use a real strong liner in there. So what we did, we made a strong liner in there, so it doesn't leak, it doesn't crack at all or anything, and just stays real strong. So what we just kind of switched to, because it used to be all PVC, we switched to a TPU liner, which is thermoplastic polyurethane. So what's nice about it compared to the PVCs that didn't biodegrade and weren't really friendly to the environment and stuff like that, TPU actually has a unique molecular structure that it will be friendly for the earth, so it decomposes after years when you put it away. And it doesn't have any PVCs at all.
Of course, you're going to be using it for many years before that. But, you know, when I think, you know, a lot of people think a soft-sided cooler, you're thinking about something that you put a six-pack of Coke or beer in and take it to the beach, or something you bring your ice cream home in the store. But this is something completely different. It is a piece of equipment that is more efficient than the plastic hard-sided coolers.
Yeah,
so much easier to use.
With our customers is, you know, people going, and like Grizz, who's down in Mexico and stuff, you can take our 36-pack and bring it down, go fishing down in Mexico, and you can bring 50 pounds of fish back. And now the cooler only weighs, you know, 3 pounds and stuff like that, so you're not going to get charged. And when you're going down there, a lot of people bring their clothes and put it in there and use it as a carry-on.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do with a hard cooler. So it saves the people lots and lots of money coming back fishing from Mexico.
Well, that's my plan. But
let me interrupt you guys a minute. You know, saying coolers and talking about coolers and keeping six-packs cold and all of that, that's just what a cooler does. But when you got a soft cooler that you can actually mold in things, if you're going to be on the water and you're going to kill a fish and you're going to take that thing home, so many of those square, hard plastic things, the tail comes half out of the ice, you can't get it turned around right. And if you got something soft, imagine that you just put that fish in there. Because, guys, what you want to do, if you're going to catch that fish, you're going to pay that money to go out there and do it, the first thing you want to do is cut the gills on the thing, bleed it out, and get it on an ice. And if you've got a soft cooler, you can actually mold the cooler
that's
to
right.
the fish.
That's right.
And, you know, that's something so important. So many people don't realize that. They think they put it in one of these horrible white and blue coolers, which we all know who I'm talking about, and they put them in. The head comes out one side. The tail comes out the other side. Guys, the only thing you're doing is keeping the rib cage cold. It isn't working. You need something like these coolers. I mean, I'm a professional fisherman. I fish all over the world. That's what you need to have it. If
Grizz,
you're going to eat fish,
Grizz,
if you're going to drink beer, who cares? A cooler is a cooler. But if you're really going to do something and travel, you want something like this.
Well, the other thing, Grizz, that's a great point. But when you get a cooler that's a certain size, and let's just say it's a half or a third full, then you've got that big airspace that sucks up the cold. Where when you collapse it down, the cooler fits the product inside, so it's extremely more efficient. But
Molding the cooler to your product.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's one of our designs. If you go online and check out our coolers, we are the first one to come up with a design with these buckles on the side. So you fill up the cooler, you buckle it down, everything gets tight, and you press down on it, you get the air out of it. When there's no air in the cooler, the ice lasts longer. But it conforms to the product that's in there, whether it's a fish or drinks or whatever you have to put in there and stuff. So it makes it real, real tight. So when you're flying back and you have that 50 pounds of frozen fish, everything in there is nice and tight. You don't have to add any ice or anything. You just clap that thing down, and it'll last 24 hours, and that fish will still be frozen.
Yeah. Well, I'm going up to Alaska, and when I go up there, I'd like to bring back a cooler full of fish because, you get that Alaskan halibut and the salmon. I know Grizz likes to catch and release, but, they're registered and controlled. So if you want to bring a little bit back.
Well, John, don't make me all too goody-goody. I don't buy fish at the store. I go out there and catch fish. My wife's always on my butt about that. You're on fishing and there's no fish. Well, I always catch something to bring home, and I need a good cooler to do it in.
Yeah, well, we might be able to do that. Oh, anyway, what I was going to say, Brian, is hint, hint, I'm going to be going up to Alaska in about the next 10 days, so sure it'd be nice.
We have a package leaving today for you, John, so you should be all set. We put some flyers in there for you also.
Oh, perfect. So we'll have to get some down to Grizz to try out down there too.
Exactly.
But
thing that helps out on the boat is our coolers take up a lot less space than a hard cooler. So it doesn't matter what size boat you have. You can have a 20-footer or a 40-footer. Everyone's looking for space on a boat.
Mm-hmm.
So if you
have
a cooler and it takes up less space than a hard cooler and does just as good a job, and it doesn't move around or scratch up the boat, it's a no-brainer.
Well, yeah, that's slides around, scratching the boat. But something else that we haven't talked about. It's an insulator, and it holds the temperature of whatever the product is. Now, is there occasions where someone might want to keep something hot? Let's just say you're a caterer, or you're going to a summer picnic, and you're going to take your beans or whatever it is. How does it work for keeping things hot?
Well, I always tell people, insulation doesn't know hot and cold. It just keeps stuff insulated. So if you put warm stuff in there, it's going to keep it warm. Just like you mentioned, you're going up to Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
For the last 5 or 6 years, there's a lady up there that does the Iditarod dog race.
Right.
And she takes our coolers
to keep
her food warm instead of being frozen.
Oh, so she packs it with her so that she's got some warm meals.
Exactly. Keeps it warm, and she doesn't want the stuff to freeze. So it'll do either way, warm or cold. We sell them to a bunch of restaurants. They put tamales in them and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Food. They work great.
There you go. There you go. So I could take some hot tamales to Alaska.
Yeah, absolutely. Tamales there and fish back.
Yeah.
Well, talking about
that package, and you go up there with some coolers, then I'm sure you can stop on the way back down here and let me sample out some of that fish that you caught.
I think we can arrange that. Yeah. Where are you located? Where's your office, Bob Ryan?
We're in Corona, California.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just close to L.A.
Mm-hmm. Yep, right in Corona.
Okay. Well, why don't you come on up with me? I got an extra bed.
We'll see. Let me see. I got 3 kids that play sports. It gets hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But the other thing is if, I don't know, if we're going to be talking some more about some tips on what to do and maybe even how to process. Now, Grizz had mentioned a couple of things, is that first thing you do is bleed them, gut them, and gill them, and then cool them off as soon as you can. and then keep them cold. It makes all the difference in the world. And, you know, Grizz, years ago when I first started going down to Mexico, I don't want to tell you what we did. You know, they'd throw they had a canvas bag on the back of the boat. You throw the Dorado in there, and the water temperature is 88, air temperature is 98, and you bring them in, and it just, you know, was not a good thing. So take care of that stuff.
The meat is actually mush.
Yeah, take care of that stuff. But, Brian, how do we get in touch with now? I think of it AO because it's American Outdoor Coolers. So it's AO Coolers.
Yeah, it's AOCoolers.com. Mm-hmm. Go on to our website. I think we have a Father's Day special going on now. So go on our website. We have deals on our website.
It'll go for a while. Mm-hmm. Okay.
For doing them. And then West Marine. So all across the United States, you can go to West Marine store and pick them up at any of the West
Marine
stores.
Fantastic. And like I said, they're not cheap, but they're not that much different than one of the other hard-sided coolers that we've been talking about.
Look, John, if you're going to spend that much money to go on a boat and fish and do things,
spend $1,000. Yeah.
If you want something that works.
There you go. It's equipment. All right, we're going to have to get out of here, you guys. Brian, thanks for joining us. And Grizz, we appreciate your help today. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio. Go to fishtalkradio.com.